The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. So the government has decided to reinstate mandatory hotel quarantine for people arriving into Ireland from countries deemed to be high risk of importing the COVID from. Jennifer Carol McNeill, Fine Gael TD for Dunleary. What good is this going to do us, given that we clearly already have significant levels of COVID in the country? Omicron is here already. What's the point of having hotel quarantine from people from countries where their problems may not necessarily be any bigger than ours?
I think the point is, Matt, that it helps to slow down the virus coming into the country. We don't know enough about this variant yet. It's being kept under review to see what the implications are going to be for international travel generally, not just for Ireland. But hotel quarantine, we saw when we had it before, we had 17,000 tests done, we'd only 600 cases. But what it did do, we know, is that it slowed down people actually coming to Ireland, or, you know, put them off doing so if it wasn't necessary from those different countries. And what that does is gives us more time to find out more about the virus and what it's likely to do, or the movement, the variation on the virus, gives us more time to enhance our own protective measures, including booster vaccinations and so on. So it's not perfect. It's not what we want to do at any stage, but we're trying to do, you know, the good and the best that we can do, as opposed to the perfect. As Mike Ryan has suggested, we need to react and react quickly to this to try to protect people who are here and to try to give us more time to get the boosters out and the vaccinations of children and others in anticipation of a variant that we just don't know enough about yet. It may be that it's more transmissible but less severe, but we don't have enough information yet, and we need to act prudently to try to manage it as well we can.
David Cullinan, Sinn Féin, do you accept that, given that your party is voting in favour of this, isn't it?
Yes, we are, and I suppose I would see this as one of a number of travel-related measures. So obviously what we saw over the last number of days is a return of testing requirements. So for somebody who is vaccinated, it's an antigen test. For somebody who is unvaccinated, it's a PCR test. We obviously have the passenger locator form as a measure as well, and also home quarantine is in at this point in time for people travelling from certain countries. I would see the mandatory hotel quarantine as a last resort, and I said it when it was brought in the last time, and we called for it. It can be a measure, it can be successful, only if deployed right, but always as a last resort. And I think what we need to do is get all the other measures right. We obviously have to learn more about this variant. We don't want to talk ourselves into a crisis which may not exist. We have to see exactly what this variant does. We will learn more about it. But I think what the public health experts are saying is that we have to respond in an agile way, have the ability to respond in terms of mandatory hotel quarantine if it's necessary. And I would hope that if it is necessary, it is a last resort and only for as long as it needs to be put in place.
We will have the medical expert, Dr. Killian de Gascoigne, with us later in the hour to discuss the likelihood, or hopefully, that the variant will not be more deadly than the existing ones. But it comes back to an issue from last year, David. I mean, what use is mandatory hotel quarantine if people can come into the island via the north?
Well, I think what we also need is similar measures in Britain and also in the north. So we don't have direct flights from many of those countries anyway into the north. In the past, when we had mandatory...
people go into Britain and then they transfer
on
to Northern
Ireland.
And I think
that is a problem, which is why we've always looked for a joined-up approach in the north and in the south. But we in the past...
But what are you doing in the north? Because you are in power-sharing agreement up there. So, I mean, what are you doing to try and force these things?
First of all, we follow the public health advice. So whatever public health advice is given to the executive in the north, we will implement it. Remember, mandatory hotel quarantine is not in place in this state yet. What we have done and what's been done today is enabling the legislation to be put in place to allow for it to be brought in if it's necessary. But my point was, when we had mandatory hotel quarantine in this state in the past, there was no flights coming into the north because the north suspended all flights. They went further than we did in the south, which meant that we didn't have that issue of people travelling into the north unnecessarily and then travelling down south. So obviously I would want to see a joined up approach. We have to wait and see what the public health advice will be to the executive, and if and when that comes, we will act very, very swiftly.
Jennifer Karen McNeill, though, is this something of a distraction from where the real issues are in Ireland at present, which for most people is what's happening in our schools?
Look, I don't think it's a distraction. We're putting in the legislation in an anticipatory way in case it's needed. But don't forget there, David voted against extending the measures by regulation 2 weeks ago. You know, there is an inconsistency with position. In January 2021, Mary Lou McDonald said it was an absolute disgrace that people can fly from London to Belfast and travel down to Dublin. David is saying something different there from a different time. You know, there's just different messages all the time. But the schools issue is very important. And it's the most
important. Sorry, because you did bring other things back up, and I will get to schools. David, you want to respond to that?
Well, I think people listening to this programme will be laughing almost at that response when you look at all of the mixed messages and the lack of planning that we've got from this government over the last while. What we oppose and we still oppose is emergency powers given to a Minister for Health who is incompetent to make regulations which never come back to the Dáil for any debate or any scrutiny or any accountability. We're not on our own here. The Labour Party, the Social Democrats, People Before Profit have all tabled amendments in the past and will table amendments again to the Emergency Powers Bill, which gives the powers to a Minister for Health who has made a complete mess and a dog's dinner of so many different issues. I think we need accountability and transparency. The Dáil can sit. The reason why I'm supporting this piece of legislation in relation to mandatory hotel quarantine is because it has been introduced through primary legislation as opposed to a bill which outsources the responsibility to a Minister for Health. And if you've got burnt once, twice and three times, you don't go back again. And we're not going to give this Minister for Health any blank checks.
We'll let Jennifer Carol McNeill respond to that before moving to the issue of the schools.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, we have, you know, I appreciate what David is saying about the difference between regulation and primary legislation. But in reality, these measures come back to the Dáil through questions. They come back through statements on COVID. They come back through the Health Committee. They come back in a whole range of different ways to be examined. And I think, you know, David and I are having very much a bubble conversation about different mechanisms at the moment. I think what needs to be consistent is respecting the public health advice at all times. And I think what the government has tried to do, and I'll be the first to say it imperfectly at various times, but is to chart a moderate course throughout the whole thing with the best of information that's available. I've been as critical at different times as anybody else, but that moderate course that responds to the science at all times and isn't driven by other considerations and is trying to manage the information that we have at any given time.
Okay.
That's the same now with the schools.
Yeah, because the science there tells us how important ventilation is, particularly when you have children who are unvaccinated. And clearly, in many schools, they believe they do not have adequate ventilation.
Yeah, and there's a whole range of different issues with schools, and it seemed, you know, comparatively that they, you know, they were very, you know, the schools are safe, but in comparative terms relative to where the virus was in the community, things were okay there. What we have now found, as people are more and more indoors, but also with the wave and the scale that the virus is at in the community, is the virus is actively looking in a way to replicate itself, particularly through the unvaccinated population, and we're seeing the numbers for children being all, you know, reasonably suddenly very, very much higher than that than they are for adults, but particularly with that 9 to 11 year old group. And where we've seen or we're beginning to see signs of stabilisation among the adult community because of, you know, the extension of the booster vaccines, the changes that people have obviously made to their own socialising, we're seeing that this group is particularly exposed because of their unvaccinated status.
So should they be kept out of school until they are vaccinated?
Well, I don't know. You see, isn't that the difficulty, Matt? I don't want children to be out of school, and I think that's the absolute last resort. Absolute last resort. And listening to teachers talking about how much children have been impacted at different ages from school closures, I think that is the very, very, very last thing. So if we can get to, you know, we have the vaccinations now approved by the EMA for five-year-olds up. I want to see that. I hope there'll be approval from NIAC immediately. I hope that when children get back to school, if it can't be done before Christmas, it probably can't from the very first day that the vaccination programme is rolled out for them. And if it means then that on a temporary basis, in order to keep children in school, which is the absolute priority for me, that we have to bring in temporary mask wearing for that 9 to 11 year olds really, because the 13 year olds are already doing it, then I don't like that. But it's the sort of step that we take in a balanced way to keep schools open, which is more important to me anyway. And I think, you know, when you listen to teachers and parents, to them as well.
Okay, David Colnan, is that the Sinn Féin position, that whatever needs to be done to keep the schools open, do it?
Yes, and I think that's the public health advice as well. But I have to say, none of this is easy on anybody, and I accept that. And it certainly isn't easy on school principals and on teachers and on children. And any public health measure obviously has consequences, and it is difficult. But I support any public health measure which is obviously recommended by public health experts.
So that includes masks for the 9 to 11-year-olds and vaccination of children from 5 up.
Well, obviously the vaccination in relation to the masks, what I want to see is a common sense approach as opposed to a confrontational approach. I certainly would not want to see any child turned away from the school. The problem is that over the last number of months, Matt, I've talked to many school principals and teachers who have felt very let down in relation to no movement on ventilation in schools, no movement on antigen testing. We saw contact tracing ended and stopped. And all of that happened over the course of a couple of months when people were saying that schools were a safe environment. And we went almost overnight from schools being a safe environment to children then needing masks. And obviously, if that's the public health advice, that's what it is.
But hasn't that been clearly explained that the reason that that actually happened was is that with all the adults vaccinated, the virus had to go somewhere else. It went towards the unvaccinated who tended to be the children. Ergo, the schools were no longer as safe as they used to be.
And the problem, Matt, then is the consultation with schools and also with GPs. So then we brought in mask wearing, for example, which it seems to be mandatory as opposed to advisory. There are some exemptions in relation to medical exemptions, but GPs haven't been informed as to what that will be. And what I'm saying is that we just need to have a common sense approach. I think we all want to avoid introducing heat into any of this, and we all want to avoid unnecessary confrontation.
I think a lot of people want some heat in the classrooms. Just to give you your position in relation to vaccinations for the 5-year-old up, you agree with that? If NIAC say go ahead with it, will Sinn Féin support that?
Yes, and I have two children, Matt. One of them is under the age of vaccination, and if the requirement comes, I will ensure that my child is vaccinated. It's up to each individual parent. If that's the advice, I would encourage people to get vaccinated.
How hopeful are you that maybe things are improving, David? We saw today there's more figures out from ENFIT, over 4,000 new cases, but the number of hospitalisations in those in ICU is falling. So how encouraging is that?
I think it is encouraging, and I have to say that for me that's down to the fact that we've had a voluntary system here where we have encouraged people to abide by public health advice. We've encouraged people to get vaccinated. It hasn't been mandatory. We've asked people to trust the science. We've asked people to trust the medical experts. I remember, Matt, talking to people like yourself ever before a vaccine arrived, and there were some discussions around whether or not people would get vaccinated in the numbers that they have. We've reached phenomenal numbers, and that has put us in this very strong position. The reason why we have very low hospitalizations compared to the numbers of people who have COVID, and the reason why we still have the level of freedoms that we have that we're not in lockdown is because of the very high level uptake of the vaccine. We obviously need to accelerate the booster jab rollout. I think that will help as well. So I am very hopeful. But also we have to be conscious of whatever public health advice comes, we have to listen, we have to heed it. And we have to keep people safe as we go into Christmas as well.
OK, Jennifer Carl McNeil, last word to you in relation to this. How quickly do you expect we can get all our children vaccinated in primary schools? And what should the situation be as well for parents who don't want their children to be vaccinated?
The answer to the first question is I expect that it should start as soon as schools come back. We've seen that there was an alternative vaccination, a second vaccination program rolled out for children who had missed other vaccinations, you know, those sort of 5, 6, 7-year-olds who had missed other things because of COVID, done through the Aviva and other places, done extremely efficiently with schools. So we have actually the architecture there already with that age group, and I expect that to be used and used quickly. So, you know, that's my expectation of government and what I'll be calling for as well, naturally. I think it's difficult, Matt, in relation to vaccinations for children, for parental choice. What we're trying to do as much as possible, of course, is to let parents make decisions about every aspect of their children's lives, from what they do, socialising, what they prioritise for their children. Vaccinations are already a choice across the board, really, for children and for parents. But I would be urging every parent to vaccinate their child. And to look at, you know, to really do that. We've seen that Ireland has been a place that has embraced vaccinations generally, but also in particular with COVID. And I hope that when we've seen the benefit of it, we've seen the effect on the community, that same view will be taken by parents in respect of their children. These are the drugs that are being licensed by the same drugs that were licensed for adults. They're the same being licensed by the same people as other drugs and medicines that children take in every other context, in hospitals, in every other context, in every other part of their lives. It's all under the same system. And we have been able to have confidence in that system overwhelmingly. Okay. I know there'll be people who have had other experiences here and there, but overwhelmingly it's been positive. And I'd really encourage parents to take the opportunity.
Jennifer Carl McNeil, Fine Gael TD for Dunleary, David Cullinan, Sinn Féin health spokesman and TD for Waterford. Thank you both for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.